It's time to get brutally honest.
I'm being dead serious when I'm saying this. I would have gone up to Jose Theodore and said, can we sign you to a 10-day deal? I'm telling you, I don't think it's crazy to think that Jose Theodore could go in there and do a better job than the Emmy.
I think it's crazy.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Gotta come clean, fellas. I have a guilty pleasure. Everyone does.
Yeah? Are you allowed to talk about it on air?
I am, and okay. I want your advice. Sometimes being the sporty guys, I like to step away and do some different things in the evening. I went to a place last night called...
Polka Dance.
No. What did you say?
Polka. Like...
No. Snakes and Lattes. Board games.
So you're Freddy the Goat.
Hang on a sec. I got to tell you one thing that I like. When I was younger, my older brother had this game. I think it was called Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah.
You get like cards and swords and stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of like, I like that. I'm kind of into it. Let me just say.
I'll tell you what. You're digging yourself a grave because the people that you attack
you
online all the time.
You guys just be respectful and actually like just talk instead of burying me.
Okay.
But I was with somebody, and we walked by, there were these four dudes that were having this, like, good game of, I think it was Dungeons and Dragons, or a game like that, where you get, like...
Not one woman in there.
No.
Not one woman.
It's women repellent.
I gotta ask you guys, like, if I said, hey, here's my number, if you guys ever wanna, like, get me involved in the game, can I get involved in the game? Or is there any kind of Dungeons and Dragons type?
Oh, you go online, I'll bet you there's a massive community.
They're all single.
Massive community.
You're single, right? Oh,
yeah. I mean, you could, I guess, get involved in that, and you could start doing that kind of stuff if you want. I mean, I'm a board game guy too, but I play with my wife and our friends. Like, we'll have people over and play like
Twister.
No, you're not gonna play Twister. You're gonna play like Settlers of Catan. Have you ever heard of the?
No.
Oh, you would love this game.
What's the game where they put the thing in your mouth and you try and talk? I saw that the other day.
I've never heard of that before, dude. That's after hours.
No, it's not. It's a board game.
Yeah, there's another word for that one.
And you have to be wearing leather.
No, it's not.
We've heard that game too, Noodles.
A leather mask.
Well, wake him up.
Let's get back to the Dungeons and Dragons.
The truth is, that is something. Like,
I think it's cool. Like,
that's what
like
Jonas does on the road, and you bury Jonas.
Yeah.
Like,
no,
Jonas goes.
Trivia. This is kind of a little bit more serious.
It's not.
No, it's not.
It's exactly the same.
There's nothing serious to it. It's a board game.
So, who's a bigger loser? Me going to play Dungeons and Dragons or Jonas for trivia?
I would say Jonas because that's on the road. That's in New York. That's in Nashville.
Like you could go anywhere.
Yeah, you're in Toronto. You're not going to go out all the time. I mean, you have different hobbies. You do different things.
What do you think these dudes would have said if I was like, hey, like, any interest in the future? I'd be happy to.
Well, I mean, if they're playing for money, if they're playing for money, they would love a guy like you.
Oh, yeah.
You'd walk in and they'd dance circles around you because you can gamble on anything. We used to gamble playing euchre games back in the day. I love to gamble.
I'd be fine with it if it was like a Dungeons and Dragons or some sort of board game like Risk or something like that, Monopoly, with like hookah attached to it. Or like you could have drinks.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, we will play board games, but it's always like at a cottage with other couples.
Right.
And going specifically to a bar
to play Dungeons
and Dragons. To play with people you don't know. I would do that online. I mean, you can do it online, but why do you need the social interaction of hanging out with people you don't know? Like, why don't you play online?
It just brought me back to my oldest brother who used to play it, and I was like, I used to really think that was cool. Like, you acquire, I don't even know how it works, man. Like, you acquire different things.
I don't know.
Should I not,
here's the name of the, just so that you guys don't think I'm some pervert, the game is called Speak Out. And you, like, put this thing in your mouth, and then you try and interpret what people are saying.
I've never heard of that.
Never in my life.
Well, we're not all veterans of board games, put it that way.
Well, maybe in Edmonton that's a big game, but I've never heard of that game in Toronto. Well, that's what I'm saying. Maybe different parts of the world, there's different types
Speak
of games.
Out. You've got leather chaps on, and you tell someone to take a hockey stick across your back as hard as you can.
There's a safe word when you play.
Yeah, exactly.
Just take that Sherwood Paul Coffee model.
The PMP 50-30. The 50-30.
Speak out.
The safe word. What would the safe word be?
Yeah.
Austin Steve Matthews.
Smith. Yeah, Steve Smith. How did this get off the rails so bad?
We got to get back to hardcore sports.
Do we? I'll bet you, based on me saying Settlers of Catan, I'm going to get a lot of love. Chad's already tweeting in saying he's a big fan.
I've never even heard of that.
Oh, that's a great game.
I mean,
it's a great game.
There's like,
what is the premise of the game?
It's essentially, you know, you're building cities, and then you're building... I don't really know how to explain it. You're going for longest road, largest army. It's kind of a card game. It can be anywhere from 3 to 6 different players. I'll have you over. We'll get you over for a big night. Break out some wine. I'll take the knee brace off, and we'll play some Settlers of Catan.
Is it like where you build cities and
stuff
like that?
Yeah, it's one of those. It's a great game. It's a spectacular game.
I'll tell you what, man. There's some people that are so into this. They were swearing. It was like little mini sporting events in the groups. They were like,
there was no women there, though, right?
Oh, there was this place was packed.
Really?
Large groups, small groups.
Well, listen, it's like esports, man. That is coming.
It is
coming. I was taking an Uber yesterday, and I was talking to the guy about what I do and why I'm going to TSN. And one of the first things he asked me, which I've never had this posed to me before, whenever I tell people I'm on the radio, they'll ask me, okay, well, what do you talk about? Yeah. Sports? Okay, what kind of sports? A lot of Leaf talk, Jays, Raps. Yeah, we do that. We do some NFL, CFL, TFC, whatever. Like, the second thing he asked was, do you ever talk esports?
No.
And I said, we don't. I mean, I don't personally care about it. It's not on our radar. I don't think our audience is reaching out for it. But I understand it's coming. Like, it's already here. Underground esports, these guys are making millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Like, the Connor McDavid of esports has bar play in Asia, in parts of the States, in...
Not in here.
I'm
not
telling
in Toronto.
And it will never be in here.
I'm telling you.
You know what I want to get involved in? The dudes that fly those planes around, those courses. Have you seen that?
No.
They sit down at like a booth like this, and they steer like little aircrafts through a course.
Like a drone.
Yeah. You haven't seen any of that?
No, I haven't.
So far, you're talking about board games and model airplanes.
All right.
Like, what's going on
here? Yeah, what have you turned into?
Where's Jeff O'Neill?
You're going to walk in here in, like, plaid pants with suspenders one day. And
a mustache that's curled up on the end.
Like, start wearing turtlenecks. I mean, you're taking this down a completely different road than I ever expected you to.
Everybody's got a few interests.
All right.
That are a little
people
bit
are writing
you're
in.
You're blossoming. You're growing as a person.
What are they saying?
People are writing in that Speak Out was the number one selling game for Christmas last year.
Of course it was.
You it's a new...
smash a hockey stick across someone's
no,
back.
And it's a new modern game.
Oh, yeah.
I've never heard it before. All right. Anyway, we get a lot to get into today. We've got a Trump story that we want to touch on.
That one is... really a spicy meatball.
This is a massive international story.
It's an international incident.
And a massive American story.
If you're not familiar with this, UCLA, their basketball team, went over to China last week, and they were going over there before the season started. I think they were obviously playing games. It was about expanding their program, and basketball is blowing up in China. It's a huge market for the NBA, NCAA. And three of the players, including LiAngelo Ball, who is the second boy in the Ball family, got arrested for shoplifting.
And they don't mess around there.
If you get arrested over there, they can throw you in the clink, and we may not see you again for 10 years. And especially foreigners.
Yeah.
And especially Americans. Americans come over and start acting like they don't have to play by the rules. They will take it personally over there, and they will send you a message. And it's their country, their sovereignty. They can do whatever they want. And I guess Trump, because Trump was over there in Asia, all the world leaders were over there. Trudeau's been over there, and Trump was over there, and he's meeting with the president of China.
By the way, if this is Joe Blow, another Joe Blow, they're in...
We're never hearing from them again.
No, they're
gone. And Trump, allegedly, according to Trump, went over there and spoke with the president and personally asked the president of China to resolve this issue and get them on a plane back to L.A., and he did.
So a personal favor.
And listen, you can say whatever you want about Trump. If you're one of these three players, you owe your life to this guy.
They all thanked him.
But they should be, like, beyond, I'm voting for this guy anytime he's in office the rest of my life. Anything Trump ever wants from me, I am doing. Because, honestly, they could have been thrown in jail in China for the next 10 years.
You want to hear about a speak-out?
Your life is done.
A speak-out game. That would happen in jail over there.
Yes. Big time. And no one would be coming to your aid. So
scary stuff.
Very scary stuff. And I haven't heard anything from LeVar Ball. I mean, he was playing it cool. He was supposed to speak with the media, and for the first time ever, he shut up and didn't say anything.
Maybe he should shut his mouth.
He did, because he realized this is not his playground. This isn't, like, they tried to play it cool, like, oh, we're going to be all right. You know behind the scenes, though, like, we may never see this guy again. Like, we may not see him for another decade.
How big of an idiot do you have to be to go over there and act up like that, too?
Well, the thing about the story is, three black athletes in America all getting in front of a camera and saying thank you to Donald Trump. It's like, as opposed to the kneeling down, the controversy that's been going on, you saw something today, and I guess that's what somebody saving your possible future could mean, because these guys probably all thought beforehand, you know, who knows, screw Donald Trump, or this is a joke, or
well, it's not protest. A joke. It's not, like you say, you start messing around, because different cultures have different interpretations of how they deal with people who break the law.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And like I say, it's a lot different in North America, because we're somewhat familiar with it, somewhat. Over in China, different countries, man, that's a, you talk about a spicy meatball. You're not lying when
you're
10
very
years.
Lucky. Very exactly. Like, there have been many people, many Americans that have been jailed over there and didn't get out. You know, that have been jailed all over the world. Canadians that have been jailed all over the world, where the president or the prime minister has reached out and said, "Can you please let them go, or can we work on diplomacy here?" And no, sorry, not interested. They don't have to do anything for anybody,
right?
And Trump, again, it sounds like, asked for a favor, and they granted him this favor. Now, if you're into politics,
there probably was, oh, you want them out? What do you?
That's what you have to wonder. What is Trump going to have to do for the Chinese now in the future? I don't know. I mean, I guess we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But, and I understand some people are taking runs at Trump because he sent out the tweet, like, are these guys going to personally thank me? Yeah. Like, he wants the recognition, the acknowledgement.
Yeah.
That's very typical of him. And you can like that or not like that, but the fact is, these kids aren't here. The team came back. They're like, see you later. We're back. We're going back to L.A.
If you are the LeVar Ball Big Baller brand or whatever, you owe a debt of gratitude.
Big time.
To Donnie Trump.
Well, the Big Baller brand, it must thrive under Trump. The economy is a big part of his whole MO and what he's pushing for.
Is there any update on that, by the way? I mean, this guy was asking for, what, $500 a pair of shoes? Like, what is the sales? Does anybody have, like, any kind of info on that?
Well, according to him, it's going very well, but I don't know. I'm not in the basketball circles. You know what we should ask is Nabil or Stauskas to see how popular those shoes are. Because Stauskas, I guarantee, has probably talked to his teammates. Like, nobody in the NBA is wearing them. The
players would never wear them. First of all, they all have deals, they're getting hooked up with Nike or Adidas or Under Armour. But just because of LeVar Ball, they're not going to wear them because they don't want to be walking around with Big Baller brand.
I wouldn't want to be tied to that donkey.
And doing his work for him and, you know, promoting his brand for him. He's the only one with access to the numbers, though. I have no idea. I know when he originally put them online, they sold like 500-600 pairs, and that was it. And maybe they're up to 1,000, over 1,000. I don't know. But well, listen, LeVar Ball, you can, again, say what you want out of him, about him, and like him or dislike him or appreciate how he grinds. He's become a big part of the pop culture. Yeah. Like, SNL this past weekend did a parody on Weekend Update of LeVar Ball. Like, Kenan Thompson, one of his recurring roles, is playing LeVar Ball.
Yeah, he's like, I have a new pair of shoes. They're $700,000 each.
Each individual shoe. It was a brilliant parody.
It is.
But you don't do that on SNL unless they believe the audience is like, oh, I know who he's doing. Yeah. That's LeVar Ball. I know exactly who that guy is.
But you're also, is he a flavor of the month? Like, eventually, he'll go away.
Not if Lonzo's still playing. Not if the next kid comes into the NBA. Okay. Not if the third kid gets to the NBA.
But isn't there a long line of crazy parents? Isn't the Serena, the Williams
sisters?
Well,
this guy's become the most famous crazy parent of all time.
But wasn't Tiger's dad?
He was never in the limelight. He never spoke.
No, they didn't speak. They didn't seek out the limelight like this guy. Like, there have been many parents in every sport over the years who, if you're willing to put a microphone in front of their face, they will talk, but they don't seek it out. They're not looking to become celebrities themselves, or it never really felt that way.
I can remember Matt Kuchar, the golfer, was in the U.S. Open. His dad was causing a stir because every shot he made, he was jumping around and yelling and screaming. Really? Everyone was like, what's up with this guy's dad? But other than that, think of like...
So LeVar Ball's...
Over-involved sports dads.
He's the worst over-involved sports dad that we can think of. Because
I don't know if that's how you can define it, though, Noodles. This guy's so unprecedented, it's so different than anyone else. The guy's created his own brand. The guy goes on talk shows. The guy is more well-known than his kids. I don't know how to describe... there's no comparison.
There's no comparison. That's what I'm trying to think of. Yeah,
no. But it's not like, there are crazy parents who are really hard on their kids. I don't know if he was hard on these kids. I have no idea.
Sounds like it. He is. I mean, he was coaching and took his kids off the court. He seems like a lunatic.
Well, sure, but he got one of them to the NBA.
Yeah, I'm not saying physically abusive.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know about any of that. So I don't think anybody really knows what these guys were, because the kids don't really talk. Lonzo Ball is as laid back as they come. He doesn't say anything. There's nothing that comes out of it. So you can't compare this guy to any other sports parent ever.
Yeah.
I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah, actually.
And it's not going anywhere. As long as Lonzo's still playing, he's going to be there. He's going to be at the Staples Center. The media's going to want to talk to him.
If Lonzo Ball was on TSN grounds here, would you want a selfie with him?
With Lonzo?
Or no, sorry, LeVar.
With LeVar, I don't know, selfie? Would I interview him in a heartbeat? I'd bring him on here in a heartbeat.
For sure, because it's good for our business. But you know how there's a buzz when people are around here?
Oh, he would create a massive buzz.
Like Joe from the Bridge would want a picture with him, for sure.
Yes, he would create a massive buzz. If LeVar Ball was on the grounds up here at TSN, it would be huge.
Yeah, see, I wouldn't want a picture with that guy.
That's fine, but you don't have to. Other people would. Other people. But you just explained exactly why he's popular. You just said it. Yeah, it'd be great for us to have him on, because it would be great for us.
Great for our show, because
exactly.
You said he speaks.
He gets people tuning
in. He's good for our job. He's good for media.
He's content.
You listen to what this guy has to say, because he says the most ridiculous, idiotic things. And that's a lot of people feel that about the president. I follow him on Twitter. I actually don't follow him on Twitter, but I see what he says on Twitter all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was trolling the New York Times today. That's unprecedented.
Well, he got there.
I know.
I mean, there's no turning it. There's no. It drives me nuts when people are like, not my president. Actually, yeah, he is.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if you voted for him or not.
Yeah, he is.
He is the president of the United States. So you can say he's not all you want, but you're an American. You live in the States. So guess who is your president? You don't have a different one.
Yeah.
That's who it is. Matthews back on the ice today. Typically, no guarantees he's going to play tomorrow night, but he's playing tomorrow night.
Yeah.
If he's back, there's no pink jersey he's skating around in. He was on his regular line. He's playing.
I think they did it the right way. They rested him, and who knows what the injury is, but it seems to me he's fine. And that's good. That's good for the Leafs, and hopefully he doesn't have a setback.
We'll get into that later this afternoon. Steve Phillips will join us. The GM meetings just wrapped up down in Orlando. Ross Atkins was asked about a rumor today, and his reaction was so typically Ross Atkins.
You think he's really starting to piss people off around here?
Oh, I think...
You, anyway.
The tandem has pissed off a lot of people because of the way they go about their business, and I just don't understand why it was so far-fetched. for someone to ask him about the big rumor pertaining to the team right now.
Right.
And he was like incredulous that you would ask him that, or how could he possibly give you an answer?
Like, can't you say that's a player we're very interested in?
Or this is, okay, let me read this, okay, because Steve Buffery had it. And if you're not familiar with this, Lorenzo Cain has been reportedly linked to the Blue Jays. Now, he's a free agent. They could sign him right now if they wanted to.
Right.
No tampering. It's not illegal. And I guess Buffery asked him, you know, okay, what's up with this? Are you guys connected to him? Are you talking to him? And Atkins responded with, quote, I don't know where these rumors come from. I mean, no, I can't answer, end quote. Why? Why can you not answer? If you don't know where the rumor's coming from, that means you're leading us down a road that would suggest there's nothing to it. So if there's nothing to it, why don't you just say, no, we're not talking to him, we're not interested in him.
And if you do end up signing the guy, you're going to say, like, why the nonsense? Can't you just say we like the player? Who knows what's going
to
happen?
Yeah, he's a good player. We're talking to a lot of guys, as you can imagine, and we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, but
like how could I answer that? Why would you expect me to answer that? Why is that so difficult to answer?
Well,
it's a JFJ. You got to confirm or deny.
Crank up the heat next time old Rossi's on.
But there's no heat. It doesn't matter what we say
to him. Whatever we say to him, it's just a roundabout answer. It's Fergie. I can't confirm or deny. Mm-hmm. And I can't believe these guys haven't got anything about Fergie. Confirm or deny. Find something. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
All right, race coming up. Jerry's percentages in about an hour. Raps coming off a very impressive win last night. They're in New Orleans tonight, taking on the Pelicans. The New Orleans Pelicans for the second time in about a week.
Your favorite name in pro sports?
Yep.
It could be the worst name in pro sports.
It's on a short list. I mean, it's got to be bottom three or four.
Like, the Pelican is what kind of...
It doesn't inspire you to be motivated.
He's kind of a loser bird, isn't he?
Yeah, totally loser bird. We should rank the biggest loser birds.
Now we're going to have some sort of activist or something pissed at us because the pelican is probably the most intelligent.
Oh, and blah, blah.
You know, they're going to come up with a definition.
Listen, if you're a pelican activist, don't listen to the show.
Oh, you're warding off all the pelican activists.
Specifically a pelican activist. How many pelican activists can there be out there?
But, like, what's the coolest bird out there?
Pamela Anderson's going to write you.
Yeah, exactly. I think she's, like, an activist for, like, birds or something.
Well, I'm not saying I want them to, like, go extinct. I'm
but
just saying.
But the question is that the worst nickname in pro sports?
I think it is.
Yeah. I mean,
so if you got anything different, shoot us a note. At Hayes TSN.
Okay.
Didn't
text us at TSN
1050.
Or just 1050.
1050-50, yeah.
1050-50. Like, what's worse than that? The Pelicans.
We're going to get tweets from some guy like Pete the Pelican fan who's going to freak out now.
No,
and are we going to include, like, East Coast League teams?
Well, East Coast League team. Remember Biz Nasty played for that, the Wheeling Nailers or something like that.
No, I think it's got to be a pro team.
There's Macon Whoopee. That's actually a pretty good handle.
But that's, like, so far down. They're doing it on purpose. It's got to be a major league team. Mainstream, like Big Four, maybe you can include CFL, MLS.
Don't go down the East Coast League road.
No.
Because some of them will use that as a gimmick.
Well,
I used to be a part owner of
because the names get goofier and goofier.
I was part owner of a team in the East Coast League, the Texas Wildcatters. It was a cool team out of Beaumont, Texas.
Yeah, that's not bad.
But yeah, that's farther down. I think the Pelicans could be the worst pro sports name.
We'll get back into sports names in 2 minutes.
All right, Brad's tweeting in. He's like, that's enough of the Pelican slander. He's a big fan of the Pelican. And
you
I guess
it.
He sent me a Deadspin piece. I'll read it at some point, saying that Pelicans, I guess, are really cool, according to this guy. And we've kind of opened the well here because a lot of people are writing in saying, guys, like the Raptors aren't that cool. That was based on Jurassic Park. They had a fan vote in.
Yeah, that's...
And because Jurassic Park was popular at that time, people chose the Raptors. The Blue Jays, kind of a weak bird. Like the Blue Jays,
it's attractive,
not a
bird, though, isn't it? Kind of a cool little bird.
I don't know.
Yeah, we did open a can of worms, right?
Yeah.
The Raptors, Pelicans. Pelicans is still a bad name.
It's brutal. Here's Steve Phillips, our baseball analyst. What's the worst type of bird? What bird do you hate the most?
It's a good question. You know, I think the one that keeps dropping on my car. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, every single day I go out there, there's this bird that just is making a mess all over my car. So whatever that one is, that's the worst one.
Yeah. That's probably a good idea.
Probably like a pigeon.
A pigeon or a seagull or something. Like, why do we need those?
Yeah, we don't. No, honestly, we don't, right? I mean, no. It's nice to see them soaring through the sky and that, but it's a mess afterwards. You know what? Geese are a problem. They're a big problem in Connecticut and all over the sports fields. Like, they leave a mess. And then your kid goes out there and he's diving to make tackles on it, and he's coming up with geese poop all over.
Yeah.
That's a big one for me, too.
I got to ask you something. I saw a picture on Twitter today of Scott Boras, and he was holding court, and there were 7 million people listening to this guy. Is he that powerful of a guy in baseball?
He is. Just ask him. He'll tell you. look, he has created, you know, sort of this image. He represents a lot of the high-powered players. Start calculating the 5% for every guy out there. And yet, you know, he's not perfect in what he does. But people tend to want to hear what he thinks. And they want to hear what he thinks about the market. They want to hear what he thinks about the game. They want to hear what he thinks about pace of play. For some reason, now executives in baseball often roll their eyes because we're kind of like, yeah, who cares what he thinks? He doesn't have any impact on this sort of stuff. But the media eats it up a lot, they tend to ask him just to get his opinion on a lot of different things.
Well, unlike the Jays, who don't really say anything, and we're going to get to the Jays shortly. Brian's got a lot of things to ask you.
Hot take.
But Jeter's already come out. Like, the Jays say nothing, and Jeter's already come out saying, yeah, they're going to shop Stanton. It's just one of those things. We're going to shop him around. Why do not teams not do more of that? It's fairly simple stuff. You're going to shop him. You're not going to shop. But the Jays literally say nothing.
Yeah. I think that you know, I was always of the belief that, you know, I would give a general overview about what I was trying to do, but I thought that knowledge was power. And I didn't really want my competition to know exactly what I was doing, because if they did, they would run up the price. How many times have we seen the Red Sox in on a free agent player, and all of a sudden the Yankees jump in on it, not because they truly have interest, but because they want to run up the price on it. So I always try to keep things close to the vest. Brian Cashman now in New York is really keeping things much closer to the vest than they used to, because knowledge is power and knowledge is dollars. And I feel like if I'm competing against you, I don't really want you knowing what I'm doing, because I don't want you to get in my way. I don't want you to run the price up on me. And so I figure keeping you in the dark is probably a better way to go. That being said, I think there's some part of the plan that needs to be shared with the fan base so they have some general understanding of expectations for the offseason, and that they're not expecting something, you know, too significant that they feel disappointed at the end, or that they have some reason to hope for next year, and they're not just thinking, well, last year's team's going to be next year's team, and so we'll just, you know, we'll finish in last place again. So there's a fine line to walk there.
Well, and we were talking about the Lorenzo Cain connection to the Blue Jays, and Atkins spoke briefly with the media today, and he had to know that he was going to be asked about that. I mean, everyone's buzzing about it. Lorenzo Cain, a free agent, he's allowed to talk about him. It's not tampering. He can talk about him, and he was asked about it, and he said, quote, I don't know where these rumors come from. I mean, no, I can't answer, end quote. What do you mean, no, you can't answer? You can't acknowledge one way or the other? Because he didn't shoot it down. I mean, he began by acting, again, incredulous that these rumors were out there, and how could they get started, and where could they get started? And if that's the case, I was expecting him to be like, no, we're not in on them. We haven't had any conversations. But he didn't say that. He just said, no, I can't answer.
Yeah.
What do you mean you can't answer?
It's so funny, because I've got the perspective now from both sides, right? That having been a general manager, rumors drove me crazy. Leaks drove me crazy. I mean, crazy to the point that I'm like, you know what? Pull up the phone records. I want to figure out who's leaking what. and who's talking to whom, because it would drive me crazy. On the other side of it, you know, you have to have some understanding, and I have a much better understanding now about where rumors and leaks come from. When the writers, you know, cite sources, you know, I know where that starts to come from now, where I've got a better understanding now than I did when I was the general manager, because I'm looking at it saying, okay, I know the four people that were in the room when we had this conversation. How is it possible that somebody's reporting this right now? And they're right, and they're reporting it, and I've got a better understanding of the chain of how things start to flow and where they go than where they used to. And so, it can eat you up if you're an executive, but I think there's a way to handle it by saying, look, Lorenzo Cain's a good player. He's one of the guys we're considering among many for our outfield. Whether there's fit there or not remains to be seen, but he's one of the names that's on the list of people that we've at least looked at. I mean, there's a way to say that without in any way, you know, tipping your hand about the level of intensity of your desire for the player.
Well, as for Lorenzo Cain, let's presume these two sides are talking. He's a good player. He's got championship pedigree, being a part of the Royals team for the past number of years. But he will be 32 starting next year. And based on the expected suitors, we're talking anywhere from 3 to 5 year deal at maybe 12 to 20 million, somewhere in that ballpark. I mean, would that make sense for you if you were the Blue Jays?
Yeah, I like Lorenzo Cain. I do. I think that out of Kauffman Field in Kansas City, that, you know, you're looking at a guy that might generate a little bit more power. You know, it's a very spacious ballpark. Hit 15 homers, stole 29 bases last year, and he's a really good defender. Now, one of the things we know about the Blue Jays, their outfield defense was substandard, certainly in the corners in the outfield. Although even Kevin Pillar's numbers didn't sort of register to the same effect that the diving catches seemed to indicate. But, you know, Cain could play center, he could play a corner, Pillar could play center, he could play a corner. It's not the kind of corner bat that I would hope to add to the lineup, but he is a legitimate number three hitter. I mean, he's a 300 hitter last year with about a 360 on base percentage in the 15 homers. He does hit doubles. He's a solid player. You know, I kind of look at him as a little bit older and a right-handed hitting Dexter Fowler from a couple years ago that left the Cubs to go to the Cardinals. So, I mean, I think he's a four-year deal, somewhere in the, you know, $60, $70 million range, maybe a five-year, $80 million deal. I'd rather not go five. You know, what I've seemed to understand is players who depend upon their legs in a pretty significant way, the older they get, the less those legs are factor, and therefore they start to become more power guys, and he's not really a power player. So a four-year deal for him would seem really reasonable. It seems like the Mets and the Jays seem to be the most interested right now. Seattle and San Francisco have interest as well, although San Francisco more in on Stanton right now than anybody. You know, it remains to be seen. It's early in this market, and I think that typically the way I look at it is where I think the value is, the price always ends up higher.
Is this, so the idea of just getting younger, faster, more athletic, it's free agency, you're just not doing it. So it doesn't even make sense making that comment because...
Well, here's the
thing. Or does it, Steve?
He would make them more athletic, no doubt. He would become, you know, arguably their best outfielder. And that tells you a lot. Like Pillar, I like Pillar a lot in the outfield. I do. I think he's an outstanding defender. I don't love his bat, Kevin Pillar. And so Lorenzo Cain's a better player than Kevin Pillar is. But, you know, look, you can have an ideal plan, but in order to afford it, you've got to go somewhere off of that. So we want to get younger, more athletic. All right, so but that guy who's 27 and athletic is going to pay a premium, and you may have to pay a premium for him to come to Toronto. So let's take the athletic guy who's a little bit older and see if that doesn't fit, or you take the guy who's younger but not as athletic. But, you know, you come off of the ideal at some point ultimately to make it fit your roster.
Well, and that's where I think it's confusing for a lot of Blue Jay fans, because let's say they do end up committing to Cain and they give him a four-year $70 million deal. But then they decide, okay, you know what, Donaldson's not going to make sense. How can you not commit to going for it if you keep spending big money on older players
from other teams?
From other teams.
Yeah,
you know, like
yeah,
that's how can you explain that to your fans? We gave Morales big money, we're giving Cain big money, we went out and got Pierce. So you're trying to prove to them, no, we're in it to win it the next couple of years. But then you're like, oh, it's not going to make sense for our best player to stick around. How can you do that?
I think it's a tough sell. There's no question. Look, they're in an awkward position right now, because I think that if not for the 47,000 fans per game that were showing up still in September when school's back in session and the team's almost out of it. People were still showing up. If not for that, and they were drawing 20,000, my guess is that they might make the choice to completely sell and rebuild. But I think they want to honor that fan base, and so they're in a position where they kind of are okay, do we sign Donaldson and go for it and really go all in, or do we try to just tiptoe through this year, sign guys that we know that we can get out of the contract a year from now if we're not going to go for it. So we sign Lorenzo Cain. If after a year we look at it and say we're not going to win, and we can't sign Donaldson and we trade him, anybody we get in a trade or that we sign, can we move them on the back end of it? I think there's some part of that calculation. And look, for me, the first priority is an answer on Donaldson. Because I think that if he's only a one-year proposition, if they don't sign Donaldson this offseason, then it's not likely they're going to sign him. Because it will be cheaper this offseason than it will be next offseason when he goes out into free agency in an open market and teams who have money to spend are starting to go after him as a premium player. It's only going to run the price up. So if they don't get a deal done now, then it's not likely they get a deal done. And at that point, I go for it for this year. But all of the other moves I make would be more short-term because I have to consider the fact that I'm going to purge my roster beyond this year. So, for instance, I know they're saying they need versatility in the infield. I personally believe they need an everyday second baseman that can lead off. I don't believe that's Devin Travis right now. He's not given me any reason to believe, one, that he can stay healthy on a consistent basis, and two, that he can consistently produce on a regular basis. So I want a second baseman. I want Devin Travis to be the protection. If the second baseman I get gets hurt, then Devin Travis is the replacement. I don't want somebody to protect me if Devin Travis doesn't stay healthy. So that's and in the way that Ross Atkins is talking, he's talking about we want a versatile infielder who can get 600 at-bats but playing multiple positions. I don't look, because that to me means okay. I need him in case I need him to back up Devin Travis. I wouldn't go in with that plan because I don't trust the predictability of Devin Travis right now. And so I would go get a short-term proposition at second base in Ian Kinsler in a trade. Bring him in for a year. He's older, but I'm going for it for a year anyway. So let's try to win right now. And it gives me a sense of signing Donaldson. Now, if I can sign Donaldson, then I go get D. Gordon, or I trade for a Jason Kipnis, and I put my team together that way where I've got 2 or 3 years to be a really competitive team. But I think a lot hinges on Donaldson, and they haven't even talked to his agent just yet.
That's bizarre, man.
So bizarre. We'll see where it goes. Winter meeting's about a month away. Thank you for this, Steve. Always appreciate it.
Yeah, you bet. My pleasure, guys.
Steve Phillips, our Jays and MLB analyst.
I wish Goins could hit better because I love his fielding.
Well, Darwin Barney would be great if he was Mike Trout, but he's not.
I know.
I mean, that's...
But you got to admit, Goins on the field is... Yeah. He's awesome.
I'll take that.
Yeah.
I mean, but he's a platoon guy. He's not a...
That's exactly... He's a depth guy. And that's the problem because I'm with him on Devin Travis. When he's healthy, I like what I've seen, but I can't trust that he's ever going to be healthy. Ray in about 20 minutes. Jerry's percentages at 5:30. Coming up, Jerry, in about 40 minutes, we've got our Leafs versus Oilers party. We're going to hit the roulette table. We'll do that later this afternoon. Giving away VIP tickets to the Pint, December 10th. We're going to be down there. Andy and Leafs Lunch, we're doing it today. Craig and Gord were being overly difficult when Andy was trying to...
Were they difficult?
Well, she was just... doing her job, and she was trying to hit the roulette table, and they were like grilling her about different things. And I want to stick up for Andy.
Now because you took a shot at her 2 days ago.
I'm Team Andy.
We're all Team Andy.
Anderson, right. B+.
We got to fly, buddy.
All right. Race coming up. Jerry's percentages will hit the roulette wheel as well, giving away another VIP ticket to the Leafs versus Oilers down at the Pint, TSN 1050. We're all going to be down there watching Matthews v. McDavid because we expect Matthews to return tomorrow night. We'll tell you more about that next.